iHeart Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney. And that's it. Oh, ding. I immediately didn't turn off my thing. My whole routine is off. Why? Because I'm alone in a basement in Cape Cod. Why Cape Cod? Wow, that sounds like I'm from there. Beth just rolled her eyes at me, if she ever listens to this. She's from this area, and I'm not. She's from the Boston area. What is going on? What is happening? Oh, boy, listeners, you caught us right in the middle of vacation. And what a unique vacation this is. And I will say it's a real turning point in our parenting lives that any of this is possible. So here's a rundown. I think we mentioned it before. But starting today is McNerney family reunion of sorts for the 4th of July. All three of my brothers and I are getting together with our kids and spouses and our mom and dad at the same house we came to growing up, that my dad came to growing up, that my great-grandfather purchased decades ago. And it's a real full circle moment where all of the grandkids are old enough that I can see myself in them and remember coming here at that age and seeing all of my many cousins. And it's really exciting. However, leading up to this, this past weekend, the Story Pirates were involved in the Solid Sound Music Festival, which is Wilco's very cool festival up in the Berkshires. And I had never been. We've been going there for 10 years, and I was never personally able to go. And this year, I thought to myself, you know what? The kids, they're three. Bryn's almost five. Like, I think I can go. But, you know, that would mean that I'd have to leave them home alone with Beth. And which is something fine. Like, you know, Beth has taken a bunch of trips. So, you know, I feel like I've earned some trips that I could just take that are just about me, but I'm still cautious to spend that parent capital because I'm like, I'm saving up those favors for something really special. I don't know what it is. And I'm happy for Beth to take more of those trips just so that I know when something comes around last minute, I'm justified in just abandoning her with the children. However, I realize, you know what? These kids are old enough. I'm going up to Massachusetts. Beth's parents live up there. They haven't seen the kids in longer than I'm sure they would have liked. It's been a while. And so I hatched a plan. And that was to, I said, Beth, before I even told her I might go to this festival, I said, what do you think about me taking the kids up to your parents' house, dropping them there for 3 days, driving to Western Mass, doing this festival, coming back, getting them, and then driving them down to my family reunion for the 4th of July, and then you can come up on the train and join us whenever you like. And unsurprisingly, she liked this idea. And the result has been she's been home alone for now 4 days. And you're going to hear from her. She's recording solo. I have no idea what she's recording. I'm just going to assume that she's going to use her time to tell you all about how wonderful her husband is and how funny and interesting he is and how she has no regrets. I'm not even going to listen to it because I'm embarrassed. I'm humble. I don't like hearing such nice things about me. So please don't verify that, anybody. Don't let me know what actually happened because I'm going with that reality. This is a fun bit. Anyway, so we're in the middle of this plan. I just arrived for the McNerney 4th of July. I picked up Bryn and Maven from their Nana and Granddad's house. Had the time of their lives. It was great by all accounts. They were very good. They spent a lot of time at the beach. I was prepared. I got them everything they needed. Beth was more prepared. She She had a lot of lists. She wanted to make sure people are on top of things. She's a very good mother. And she worried an appropriate amount, I would say. And everything was fine. And they were great. And so when I picked them up, they were excited to see me. And we drove an hour and a half through very terrible Boston traffic. And Maven got car sick, but did not throw up like a champ. I made it sound like she did not throw up like a champ, as if she threw up like something else. But I should say, like a champ, she did not throw up. I don't know if you can hear, but I'm in the loudest basement in all of the East Coast. So if you're stomping upstairs, it's because this house, these walls, if these walls could talk, what am I trying to say? I don't know. This is a great moment to realize how beneficial it is to have Beth recording with me to tell me to shut up because my thoughts are going nowhere. Bringing it back in. So I've had 4 days to myself, and they were wonderful. The festival was amazing. I got to go perform for families who are Story Pirates super fans. And I also met some We Knows listeners, which is great. You know, we were there with Story Pirates, so we were expecting Story Pirates fans. We got a ton of them who know who I am and brought me snacks and all that. But it was so amazing to run into some We Knows fans. And it was a bizarre thing to have happen because obviously I know you are all out there. You write to us. You're amazing. I see the numbers. I know that there's a good number of people listening. But it's very strange, Joey's, to meet you in real life. Because I met a really nice couple. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's really, and I told them, I was like, really great to be alone. You know, I just dropped the kids off with the in-laws. And they were like, yeah, we know. We listen to your podcast. We know everything about you. And I jokingly said, I'm like, yeah, you guys probably know more about us than our friends do. And I think that might be true. Just because a lot of our friends don't listen to this podcast. I don't expect anybody to, because most of them don't have kids. And so they're also like, well, why am I going to spend all my time listening to you when I see you all the time? So that was weird in a very, and very nice. So thank you for coming and saying hello. The other big thing, totally. So, well, I'll say we got to, when I picked up the kids and brought them here, it's so far not everyone is here. It's my parents. They also brought my brother's two older kids. And Bryn and Maven were so excited to see them. And they got real hyper and real excited and started running around, and they had giant inflatable boxing gloves. And Bryn was all about tussling with these older boys. And realized, like, he's not the big kid anymore. And so they were so ramped up. And they're like, all right, now let's go to dinner. And boy, did he have a meltdown and wouldn't go anywhere. And, you know, I want to say my impulse will always be like, oh, it was so terrible. But it really wasn't, because I was ready for it. I'm like, I know how this works. And it's a little more chaotic because there's three other kids who are just amping them up and are trying to be like, hey, Bryn, if you do, I'm like, just leave him alone. And he came around. But it was more that he's been, by all reports, a perfect angel with my in-laws for the last 4 days. And as soon as I show up and he's comfortable, he's like, all right, I've been good long enough. Now I'm going to tear some shit up. Get ready. Literal screaming. I will not put my shoes on. I had to do a lot of, I'm going to count to three or we're going home. And he never let me get to three. So, boy, magic counting. Magic 1, 2, 3 has been a lifesaver recently. So that was stressful. But then he finally settled down, and boy, we had a fun night. Oh, gosh. I just put them to bed on the air mattress. And then I crawled down into the very cold basement to set up this microphone. And it took me 45 minutes because I'm using equipment I've never used. So, oh, you don't know how happy I am that all of this is working. So that's that. So here's the other big thing that's been going on with me. It's not a big thing. It's fine. But as I probably mentioned last week, Went to the doctor last week.
Blood pressure?
Not very good. So I started a little medication the day after I recorded last week. And it was the lowest dose of one of the least intrusive, supposedly, medications. And there's some side effects with blood pressure medication. And, oh boy, I had some side effects. I talked to the doctor. He said take a week for it to settle in. And at this point, things are pretty good. It's fine. But the first few days did not go well. I lost my mind. I got real dizzy, and I was like, this is a terrible feeling. I can't focus. I can't do work. I'm usually able to be pretty patient emotionally. And I know that if Beth and I have a conflict, I'm able to swallow an emotion for a second to think so that I don't make things worse by just reacting. If my kids get out of line, I can breathe through it and not scream at them. But these 3 days, oh goodness, I could not. Restraint was not a tool available to me. And I lost my mind. And I was a bad dad for a few key moments. I was a bad husband for several more, and I did screaming, and it came out of nowhere, and it really scared the shit out of me, as well as Bryn, who I yelled at one point. And it surprised me, like, he's being super difficult about something. And I was like, all right, we're going to hang out at this pool with a friend, and I'm putting the water bottle together, and I turn around, and I turn back around. Bryn has dismantled his water bottle and took this thing out and I grabbed it, and I don't know what I said, but I screamed it and threw this top of a water bottle in the opposite direction of my children, and it was so inappropriate, and it scared me and it scared Bryn. And then I picked him up and I took him to his room and I shut the door. And I was like, what is this? I am not in control of myself. And then we were getting ready to leave, you know, and I had this whole plan to take the kids, and I had everything covered. And I was like, I bought groceries that week, and I thought it was the perfect amount before we go out of town. But leaving town, like, Beth was also making her own lists, and I wasn't doing everything that was on Beth's list. So she was annoyed at me. And so she snipped at me, and I had zero patience for it and freaked out. And then that night, laying in bed, I don't remember any of it, where it came from, but we tried to talk about it. And then I just flipped at one point and screamed in bed, and she got up to leave. And I was punching the mattress. And I think at one point tried to literally rip her pillowcase in half. This is alone. She just left immediately, and I beat up the bed, you know, like a grown man deals with things. And I'm sure our neighbors downstairs, who hear, as you may know, everything that happens in our bed, heard me having a full man tantrum. Man tantrum sounds disgusting, whatever that is. But I had one. And everyone could hear it. And then I went out into the living room where Beth was, and I just said anything I thought would hurt. I'm sure if you've been married for long enough, you've had low moments where you have fights where I have arguments with Beth in my head. Sometimes when I'm annoyed about something, and so then it's like these fantasy debates happen in your head, and you say things that are hyperbolic and not literally true in your head, but you don't really say them because, you know, it's not really true, and it wouldn't be productive. But in this moment at, I don't know, midnight, I scream them all at her, and in the moment, felt great to be real, real mean. And then I went in bed, and I laid down, and because I was on day two of this medication that made all my emotions feel insane, I was like, I don't feel bad about that. Normally I do something mean and immediately I'm like, oh shit, oh that's bad, and then I go run and apologize. And in this I was like, I don't care, I don't care. And then an hour later, then I really did care. And then I went back and I was like, I don't know what I said, but I apologized. And I'm just like, I'm not in control. I don't know what's going on. And it's fine. Beth understands that I'm just like going through a chemical imbalance in my brain. So she was very cool about it. And then I left and felt fine. And things have, and then I called the doctor and I was like, I hate this. And he's like, well, this is the lowest dose. He's like, well, cut it in half. Call me in a week. It should settle. And I did cut it in half. And I'll tell you, I do feel way better. I don't like being on it at all. And now I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should have just done what the plan was in the first place, which was to, you know, lose 15 pounds and exercise. Ugh. But now that I'm on it, I'm like, I should just do that. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You know, mortality. It's I was about to call it an inconvenient truth. Oh, this is why I need Beth here recording with me. I just start saying insane things. The only other side effect of this medication is I was in the middle of a story pirate show at Solid Sound. And in the middle of a very loud screaming bit, and then that character came and started talking to me, and I got so dizzy that in my head I'm like, am I about to pass out in front of 200 kids and their parents? I thought I might, and I didn't. So thank you. That was, other than that though, my week was awesome.
Hello, welcome to We Knows Parenting. I am Beth Newell. This is the Beth part of the podcast, and you may or may not have already heard the Peter part of the podcast. I don't know where he's sticking me in here. I don't know what's happening. We're not together. I haven't seen him in days. Who am I? Who is my husband? Who am my family? I don't know. So for those of you following closely, week to week, Peter's taken the kids to my parents in Massachusetts. He's reunited with them, and I am shortly to join them on a family vacation. But as for the meantime, I have had our home to myself for the weekend, which has been nice. I've gotten a lot of work done, you know, gotten a lot of laying around in bed done. Been good, you know. Should I have scheduled a show for the Sunday night of the weekend I had to myself? That remains to be answered. I'm very tired nonetheless. Always, we always find a way to be incredibly tired. Here I am. I don't have really much to tell you about my kids this week because I haven't seen them. I do miss them, and that's a nice feeling to have, to miss your kids, that we don't always get to have. And that my kids have been very well taken care of by my parents, and I've seen some nice pictures and videos, and they're really turning into quite the beach bums, which I appreciate as a lifelong beach bum. Put that on my tombstone. So I cannot wait to join them at the beach in 2 days. In the meantime, still doing the life thing. Anyway, I did want to talk a little bit about the show I did this weekend, which if I was a more together person, I would have probably promoted in advance, but I'm too tired to think straight half the time. So I'll give you the play-by-play. I did a show at Union Hall called Shit Show, which is co-hosted by Emily Flake and Ophira Eisenberg, which some of you guys might remember. Ophira was on the live podcast we did in Brooklyn, and she also is host of NPR's Ask Me Another. So it was a great show. Shit Show is a show about parenting, and all of us parents got up there and did some material on being parents, and it was super fun, and everybody killed, and it's just good to be out there with other moms shooting the shit. I had this feeling when I showed up, I felt like we would all be tired because we all are always tired. But the nice thing, I think, you know, that, you know what they say, if you want something done, ask a busy mom. And I felt like all the moms in the lineup and the one dad, I think, really cherished their time enough to make the most of a night out and paying a babysitter. And they really brought it, and it was really fun. And there is so many great jokes. So I don't know when they're putting up that show again, but it's really a fun show. And Ophira and Emily are great. And everybody bitched about kids a little bit, and it was wonderful. It was good to get out of the house. It's good. I have said this before, but I keep seeing these moments of me leaving the house as an indicator of progress, which are not very apparent to the outside eye, but the more times per week, per month that I'm able to be outside the home, the more I realize that my kids are turning into real kids and they're no longer babies that are attached to my body at all times. And that's a lovely thing. So for those of you guys still out there in the trenches of being covered in milk, I salute you. It gets better. It gets better. I cannot stress that enough. Sometimes people have the tendency to try to tell you that it gets worse. I don't, and I can't speak to the teenage years. I don't know, but I really remain firm in my belief that there's nothing worse than having a newborn after you've just had your body ripped open by a baby. And I'm going to give you guys that. I'm going to say it gets better. So yeah, I'm out here living my life. I'm away from my kids. I did a comedy show. It gets better. Oh, also one other exciting thing about my family being out of town and having the house to myself for what feels like the first time, or at least the first time for this extended duration, I can put treats in the fridge and no one will eat them. They're all mine. And I can have small, reasonable portions, and I'm not coming back to something that someone has demolished. It's really, really lovely. So I'm sitting here with some chocolate pudding, having the time of my life. Okay, guys, this next segment is called We Knows News. This is where we take some information we read about parenting on the internet. So this week I wanted to talk about an article from The Atlantic by Emily Oster. For those of you who don't know, Emily Oster wrote a book called Expecting Better, which gets into the sort of scientific realities of pregnancy and the supposed threats to your health and your baby's health that women are made aware of, you know, such as eating deli meat, drinking coffee, the things that women are scared of. And then it looks at the actual science behind it to try to give you a more informed idea of whether that's actually harmful to you and your baby. And, you know, I haven't actually read this book, but my very close friend has. And so that's where I've secondhand gleaned a lot of good information from it. But it's very cool to see books like that that treat women as intelligent human beings who are capable of making their own decisions with the information they need, instead of just telling us to be scared of everything all the time. So I just wanted to mention that as a little bit of background information that's not really very relevant to this article, but I think it's cool and I think she's a cool writer. Anyway, this article is called End the Plague of Secret Parenting. Subtitle: If mothers and fathers speak openly about childcare obligations, their colleagues will adapt. So this article talks about the pressure that parents have in the workplace to sort of hide the fact that they're pregnant or downplay the fact that they have children and act like it's not going to affect their day-to-day work obligations. I'll read a little bit of an excerpt from the article. She says, "One woman told me she worked on a team of men, all of whom were fathers. Pregnant with her first child, she noted that none of the men ever talked about their children, and she assumed she shouldn't either. The general sense is that everyone should adopt the polite fiction that after their first several months of leave, the child disappears into a void from which he or she emerges for viewing and discussing only during non-working hours. Reinforcing this point, women professors at my university told me that when they were more junior, they made it a point never to put pictures of their children up in their offices. So I think a lot of people can relate to that. I mean, we certainly, those of us who have pregnant friends, know that there's a lot of fear that goes into the decision of whether to announce and how it's going to affect your job or your job prospects and whether you can show up to a job interview pregnant and how it's going to affect you. And as we know, that kind of discrimination is illegal, but at the same time, you know that it's going to affect people's judgments of you and there's really no way of proving otherwise. And I will say, I think like, it's a little bit of a different situation for me because around the times I was pregnant, I ran my own company. So I didn't necessarily have a higher up I was reporting to, but I do still feel that we have this cultural thing these days of, you know, we really praise people for burning the candle at both ends and nonstop working and this sort of culture that you know, always need to be on. And I think we all kind of feel this pressure if we're taking a maternity leave, even as medically and emotionally necessary as it may be to do this. When we live in a culture of people that don't understand the realities of childbirth and postpartum recovery and nursing a newborn, I think there is pressure to pick up the pace. And whether people are telling you it or not, I think you feel guilty for the time you're taking away from work and feel like you need to make up for it in some way or another. I mean, that pressure is definitely there. And I think it's unfortunate that we are put in these positions. But I think Emily Oster has a good point in this article, which is that if we're going to change that culture, we need to start trying to change that conversation and trying to acknowledge the realities of having children more in the workplace and not giving into that urge to be quiet about our children. She goes on to say, some of the women in that paper I cited above reported that they had feigned illness when their child got sick because taking a sick day for themselves seemed acceptable, but taking one to nurse a child did not. These pressures aren't just bad for parents, they're bad for employers. Inflexibility around childcare is quite simply going to cost firms valuable workers. Most of the women in that study left the labor force. Other research has found that the presence of children is a main driver of the gender gap in career outcomes, even for highly educated workers, because women drop out when their employer can't accommodate their schedule. If a workplace doesn't offer paid parental leave, the solution, though possibly difficult to achieve on a political level, is obvious: paid parental leave. The climate issues that lead to secret parenting are more nebulous and thus seem more difficult to fix. But perhaps the answer is just as clear. Fight the culture that encourages secret parenting by not parenting secretly. Eventually, your colleagues will adapt. So I think that's a really interesting point and a good one. I know sort of on a personal level, case-by-case basis, people are probably going to feel like they have certain pressures they have to take into consideration, the nature of their bosses, the pressure of their job, the income level of their family, and the risks of losing their job. I know the day-to-day reality. I mean, it's easy for me to preach that we should all be more open about the fact that we have kids and that we have to go home and take care of them and et cetera. But I do know on an individual basis that we all have to sort of make those decisions to keep our family fed and housed and clothed. But I think what she's saying about how this hurts companies as well is very interesting, because I think we've talked a little bit about this on the podcast in the past, is that companies benefit from having a gender balance. There are things that women bring to the table that are valuable to companies. There's a lot of labor and emotional labor. And when employers do not make allowances for the reality of parenting and maternity leave, those things that are real needs for people and families, then companies will not retain their female employees. And that's not a good thing for the women or the companies. I do know of a woman who was able to bring some data to her company. She ended up crunching the numbers on what they were paying recruiters in order to try to bring more women into the company because they were trying to keep more of a gender balance. And she presented the costs to them of their insufficient maternity leave policy. And she then presented the costs of what they were paying to bring in new women for the ones that they were not retaining. And basically, they were paying more money to try to recruit new women for the women they were losing based on this maternity leave policy that was not saving them very much money. So I do think these are conversations we can all ideally try to bring up in our workplaces. But again, I know everyone has their own considerations to take about whether they want to be the squeaky wheel in a particular moment in time, in a particular place. But I do hope the culture is changing, and I really enjoyed this article. So I hope you guys got some good information from that, and I hope you guys are being loud and proud about making babies.
This next segment is called Did you knows what we were talking about during that weird segment many weeks ago where we were like, something happened, but we can't talk about it, but we will. And then it seemed like we forgot. And then we brought it up again and we're like, we will. And then we didn't talk about it for like weeks again. Well, it's time. Has this been overblown? Yeah, I'll tell you what, it has. You might not care at all, but it was meaningful to me and it was incredibly timely, given that it happened while we were recording. So a little context for those of you that don't know what we're talking about. A while back, we started recording a segment, and we got a phone call. Normally, we turn off our phones, but we got a FaceTime call, which has a different setting. So it interrupted the recording. And weirdly, I decided to pick up the phone call and recorded what happened next.
The sex mit.
I'm not editing this out.
Can I intro this?
Mm-hmm.
This next segment is called We Knows Wins. It's where we share parenting wins.
I have a win, I guess. I don't know if it's a win.
Do you guess?
I guess. I had a really positive experience with my kids. Today or the day before, doing a thing that I would never.
Uh-oh.
Whoa! You did not turn off. It's my phone. My little brother wants to FaceTime. All right, I'm gonna answer the phone. Hey, what's up? Oh my god!
I can't see your face. You're black.
Is you guys realize we're recording a podcast and this is being recorded? Is that a uterus?
Oh my god.
That's your future. I can't see your face. This is your future nephew or niece. We don't know yet.
Oh my god. Oh, this is such good content.
Oh my god.
Wait, we can now be on the parenting podcast. That's amazing.
Oh wow.
Oh my god, turn on the light. Turn.
Oh my god, congratulations.
Oh my god. Can you turn on the light?
I can't see anything.
Sorry, we're in the dark.
Sorry, we record in the dark because we're romantic.
No, this is how the magic happens.
Peter, do you remember when you FaceTimed me?
Yeah.
And you did the same thing, just like this?
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Oh, my God.
It's a family tradition.
Thank God you moved.
I feel like I have to narrate for the podcast now that we're recording.
Oh, yeah. My
brother and Reese are holding a sonogram photo of their unborn child in front of us. So beautiful.
Wait. When is this coming out?
Well, tomorrow. But I mean, you shouldn't. We have to save this for another episode now.
Yeah, Yes, bonus material for your Patreon subscribers.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk about how something exciting happened that we can't talk about.
This is going to sound like we faked it, but it's really our real reactions in the moment.
This is insane. We're still recording this right now.
Just so I'm clear, our future offspring is already kind of going to get some likes and some views.
Yeah.
They're
coming in with a bang.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna exploit the hell out of this.
Why did you pick up the phone when you were recording?
You know what?
That's a good question.
Normally I mute everything and I do not disturb on my computer, but everything started ringing and it was recording, so I picked up because I thought it'd be funny. Not earth shattering. Earth shattering makes it sound like it's bad. It's good.
You follow the rules of improv.
Yes, Sam, well, baby.
You know, we're so excited for you guys. Now we can like look at you guys and be like, ugh, kids, right? you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to belong in that podcast. I'm going to be like, yep, I totally know what you mean.
Peter,
yeah.
You have no idea what it's like to have a wife who's pregnant. Let me tell you.
Oh, tell me all about it. I forgot all about it.
Actually, last week, on the way back from your podcast, I was just not in a good mood. Because I picked him up from a bar, and I was like, I cannot go to bars, and I'm going to have an entire summer of not being able to go to bars. And then he said something, blah, 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 and he said, we're pregnant, and I was like, no, we're not pregnant. Oh, my God, it's already happening.
Well, Raisa, yeah, you're not wrong.
It was a linguistic trick that backfired. I was trying to bring us together.
He was just doing a little lingo trick.
It's just a little, don't fall for it.
I was like, pretty sure
it
was just
do you
a
want
bar,
the deets?
And I
wasn't. And look at Beth's sweatshirt.
Oh, uterus. I'm wearing a uterus sweatshirt.
This conversation's full of uteri.
Okay, the deets. So, she is 11 weeks pregnant. She is due in mid to late November. So far, everything looks good, but we still have to get the results back from some of those blood tests.
Yeah, you got to do those.
Before we really go public, because we've told Mom and Dad and Andrew and you and Michael kind of knows. We actually haven't, like, explicitly confirmed it with him.
Oh, okay. So what you're telling us is that were the last people you called.
As I said, I'm returning the favor from when you FaceTimed me, and I assumed that...
Also, the order was established by your mom, who said, oldest. I can't even sit through dinner without telling Pete, so you have to tell him now. So she was like, I'm not going to be able to keep a secret. You have to tell everyone who I'm going to see.
I just realized, for those of you listening to this podcast... I'm talking to my brother, my little brother Sam.
Okay. And we don't have to record all of this. They can just talk to us.
This is half an episode. People want to hear this.
Documenting this for posterity. you might need to edit a little. Set me up first.
It all goes in. I'm too tired to edit.
So what else? Do you have any?
Oh, you should have said, "Would you nose? We're pregnant."
Oh. I didn't know that they were recording. I thought you were in some blackout. It's like,
Well, it's about time.
I think it's time.
It's about the right time, actually.
Yeah, it's about the right time.
You moved to Brooklyn. There was no question as to what was going on.
Well, yeah, I think you didn't have to read that far in between the lines to get the kind of subtext of that move. Mm-hmm.
We did the opposite. We got pregnant and left Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I don't think we happened. It was going. I don't think we thought, or we didn't think it was going to happen that fast.
It happened really fast. Like, there was a change in birth control methods, let's say. And we were instructed to give it a few months. And we needed less than that.
When I told Sam, he said, I knew it.
Knew it. I called it.
With a grin. Like, yeah, I did that.
Well, what does it feel like to find out you're pregnant when you know that you're trying?
I think we were not trying. I don't think we were trying. So it still was pretty surprising. I thought it was gonna take a few months.
We unlocked the gates, but we weren't exactly like, you know,
storming like the castle.
The McNerney family phrase around this, I think, is pulling the goalies. Right? Like,
You pull the goalies.
Well, we may have actually scored without needing to pull the goalie.
You're just such a good shooter, huh, Sam?
Yeah,
I think pulling the goalie helped.
Absolutely. Yes.
No, I shot the puck through the goalie. This is getting gross.
So, yeah, race has been amazing. It's been a little sick. But, you know, we're hoping it's towards the end of that phase.
Yeah, sick and tired a lot.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I feel like it's likely to change quickly soon.
But yeah, well, this is 11, so hopefully the second trimester is better. Today was great.
So did you just, when was the first, like, pregnancy test? The first, how recently did you find out? Because did you just go to the doctor?
Well, we went the first time, and we saw just a flicker of a heartbeat, which is just...
Well, tell them about testing the pee test thing.
Oh, yeah. So I did that by myself, and I walked out of the bathroom, and I had this, like, oh, my God, I'm going to walk back into this bathroom and see this test, and my life is going to be different. And it was. And it was terrifying and really exciting. And then I told Sam... in a very original way, and he just held his heart. He was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have a heart attack. Is it real? How can it be real? And it was perfect because I called him. We were packing to move, and I called him and I said, hey, on your way home, can you pick up some tampons? And so he was totally
caught off guard.
So you were like, hey, real quick, before you come home, I'm not pregnant.
Earlier in the day, I was like, hey, got my periods, didn't happen, but this is good. Everything's functioning as normal. So just on your way home, can you pick up some tampons?
Everything's totally normal down there. Get me my normal down there stuff.
Everything is functioning, even without the goalie. We're the same. It's all good.
Yeah, I was like, tampons, all right, that's cool.
I got another month.
I mean, this sounds like it really was unexpected if you were already starting to pack. Like, you were planning your move, but you didn't think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, the move was happening. And that week, my parents were coming. I found out I was pregnant. I had my class. And I had work. So it was...
And you still managed to get to our live show.
I wouldn't have missed that.
Mm. Oh, that was... First. Wait, no, so this was back...
This was when we found out.
Oh, right.
Mid-March.
Not every week is about you.
It is.
Your show was a Wednesday, right? Or Tuesday?
It was a Tuesday.
Tuesday. So we had our big 10-week appointment, Hear the Heartbeat, on Wednesday.
That was sweet. So the gynecologist... how do I describe this medically? Lubed up this huge wand.
Yeah, we've been there.
Nice medical term. Lubed up the wand.
That's what happened.
No, we know.
Yeah.
As parents, as you guys would know, there's this little screen and it shows this little thing. And it was so cool. Like, I don't know. I was like, Raisa started crying, and I just got so interested into like the biology of it.
You're like, I know my wife's crying, but science questions.
I started like laughing and tearing up, so obviously it was all shaking. But Sam goes, so when does the brain develop? What's happening with the nervous system now?
So how smart is my son daughter?
Kind of.
So she was cool. Answered all my nerdy questions, and they printed this little thing out really quickly.
I gotta say, very beautiful child.
Nice uterus.
Nice shrimp.
Yeah. Beautiful. I worked on it for 3 years.
And that was it. This is from the second one. The first one, it was like a speck, and this one is more like it's between a peanut and a prune.
Yeah. Boy, I forgot about all the produce sizes that are ahead.
She was so cool. She was kind of like, listen, your body's an autopilot now. You know, don't read the blogs, don't read internet, order one or two books. Like, you're gonna know if something is wrong. So she was just very calm and cool and reassuring.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good.
We already tell you the due date.
November.
What is the exact due date?
22nd.
Yeah, Thanksgiving time. Ooh, we don't have any November birthdays, I think.
You know what that means? That means we got to do a New York City Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it may be a little.
Well, they might be like holding a newborn. They're not gonna like host Thanksgiving. Well,
I'm not saying you host Thanksgiving.
We don't know how the birth is gonna go. We don't know what state I'm gonna be in. It sounds like. We don't have to fly. We can drive.
I'll drive you.
You're not going to miss Christmas. Come on. I'm just kidding.
For no reason.
There's never a way.
I mean, not that I would. Honestly, when I saw the due date, I was like, oh, how are we going to get to Winneka that early?
Okay. You don't have to, Raisa. You can lay in bed.
I'm not taking advice from these two in terms of babies and cars. So... thanks.
We are going to be there.
Yes.
Just give me the baby. I'll drive the baby.
Ooh, do you think we can get Honda to sponsor her ride to the hospital?
Ooh, hashtag Honda.
Honda moment.
That was another thing we were talking about. Obviously, we don't have a car. So we were like, so are we going to get an Uber after we have a kid? Like, how are we going to get home from the hospital?
That's what you're going to do. You gotta buy it.
There's our co-branding partnership. Hashtag Uber baby.
I bet my sister would drive you home, honestly, in her little Honda Fit, and it would be sort of like a nice circular.
And we would fit.
It's the McNerney baby car.
Yeah. She would probably love to rechristen the car with another baby.
That's actually good. Okay, we might do that.
I mean, yeah. We could ask.
Sorry, Uber.
Anyone, but it was just a funny thought. We're like, do we need a car now?
I'm not taking the F train to the hospital. No.
Well, we took the F train to get the baby.
The problem is just installing a car seat, which you can figure out.
Boy,
that feels so you guys, far in the future.
We're gonna give you so much crap,
and by
not crap like we're gonna give you a hard time. We're gonna give you
stuff.
Well, as the youngest, this is the story of my life. Part three. So I'll keep handing it down.
Hey, I'm 3 of 4. I got it too.
We're gonna give you a lot of age inappropriate things for your kid,
mm-hmm.
so that you can store our junk.
Yeah.
Just what we need.
We are taking advice and support.
Okay. Well, you can listen to the podcast. That's the advice that we have.
Oh,
yeah, more than that, you gotta pay.
Premium subscribe along with the rest of your audience. Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Well,
thanks for telling us.
We have to finish this episode.
Go back to podcasting.
Let us know when we can release this into the wild.
We will.
As soon as we get those tests, we'll go public.
All right, we're gonna hint at it. In this episode, that something exciting just happened that we can't talk about.
Something just happened we can't
talk about. Megan is definitely going to text me tomorrow and be like, are you pregnant?
Ooh, you should do a little game maybe with your listeners.
Oh.
Can you guess the thing I can't tell you?
Something exciting happened. Can you guess what it is? No hints. Fun game.
We knows, but you don't.
You don't knows, but we knows.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Congratulations. Bye.
Bye. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay, Beth's gonna go get some water. I'm gonna So if you're listening to this, this happened a while back because we weren't allowed to talk about it, obviously. But holy cow. Oh, my little brother is going to be a daddy. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. Please, if you have any questions or comments, stories, or a would you know scenario, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at weknowspod. Please like and subscribe, rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And oh my gosh, you guys, I miss you. Whoever you are, I miss you. Have a great night, please. Happy 4th of July, baby! Bye!